I'm always very jealous of people that can just sit down with at the piano, or they can pick up a guitar or something, and a ukulele or some other instrument, and they can just begin to play that thing and to sing those songs, and joy begins to flow out into the presence of all the rest of us. I know what it's like to sing a song and to hope that something marvelous is happening. I also know what it's like whenever someone else is singing and to know something else is happening. Let's thank God for the opportunity we've had today to know what we know and to enjoy the blessings that He wants to give. Let's thank God for those things today. Thank you, Marley. Happy birthday. All right. Today we're going to have a message that's not going to be... I'll give you the title here in a few seconds. We're going to start looking at the three wise men. Actually, the Bible doesn't tell us three. It just tells us wise men. But we're going to look at the three wise men, but the message is not about the three wise men. It's about the four wise women. And I hope that you know something about the four wise women. If you've been in church very much, you know about them. You've heard about them. You probably never heard a message before Christmas about the four wise women. They all came before Jesus came into the world. It's all about their impossible lives. The title of the message, in case y'all don't know, Four Wise Women. Okay? And so it's all about their impossible lives. Women, God understands when you have an impossible life. And He knows what He can do with your impossible life. Men, that's true for us too. But today it's about the four wise women. So today we're going to start in Matthew, and in the second chapter, and we're going to look at the wise men when they were coming. We're going to find out where did they come, why did they come, what was going on, and it's only just going to be a short little thumbnail sketch looking at them, and then we're going to be looking at the four wise women. I don't know if you're excited to hear about four wise women, but an amazing thing. Marley, several weeks ago, we spoke about her being able to sing a song, and the song that she chose, His Eye is on the Sparrow. I don't know if you all know when it's talking about that. Scripture talks about two sparrows are sold and how cheap two sparrows are. Well, it's talking about part of a sacrificial offering. Those sparrows become a picture of Jesus in their sacrifice. And whenever you're singing a song and you're saying, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He's watching me, you're literally confessing, Jesus' life has now become my life. And yes, there will be things required of me, but I'm willing for Jesus to be exalted. So let's look at these wise men. Chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. How did they know to come? Why were they coming? Had they had somebody that went there, a prophet that had spoken to them? Yes, but hundreds of years before. Whenever the Jews were in captivity in Babylon, there was a young man who, in spite of all that had been done wrong to his body and all of the relatives that he had knew that were no longer alive and that he would never go back to Jerusalem, he said, I have chosen to live my life for the King, for the Messiah. In Hebrew, we call his name Yeshua. In the English, we call his name Jesus. And this young man's name was Daniel. They mutilated his body. He would never be able to have children. That would destroy most young Hebrew men because they would want to have children. One of the four women is going to want to have children because she knows that God wants to give her blessings so she can pass them on to those that belong to her. Are we passing blessings on? You say, well, I've done all I can do. No, you've never done all you can do. God's going to give you chance after chance after chance after chance. Even when John was 90 years old and he was a prisoner on Patmos, he never stopped desiring to pass blessings on. That's why God gave to him that wonderful thing that we call the book of Revelation. It's because God knew that the church needed a man that was wanting to pass blessings on. Do you think if God knew back at that time that the church needed a man who wanted to pass blessings on, that God is not aware that the church today needs men that want to pass blessings on? So anyway, Daniel lived his life. He was probably in his teenage years. By the time he came to the end of his life, he knew he was never going home, and he was wanting to go back to there because he knew God had promised that the Jews would go home. Now then, so Daniel is this man. What could Daniel do that nobody else could do? Well, one night, King Nebuchadnezzar, and actually we believe that he had this dream more than one night, and finally he woke up from his dream. He never quite remembered everything about it, and he was so twisted in his innermost being about it, he called all of his wise men. Oh, wise men. He called all of them. There were about three or four great universities in all of Babylonian Empire. And he called all of them in and he said, I have had a dream. I've got to do something about it. And they said, surely, King, tell us your dream. And he said, I cannot remember. It's gone from me. But you must tell me what it is and the interpretation thereof. Are you all will die. Now, Daniel was learning in those universities. And he knew that God had a plan for his life. And he was bold because he knew that God had a plan for his life. Have we gotten to the place where we no longer really believe that there's a plan for our lives? And if we still believe there's a plan for our lives, have we gotten to the place where we're no longer willing to be bold? America needs bold men and women and boys and girls. The church needs bold men and women and boys and girls. So we see these wise men that are coming are the remnants of those four great universities in Babylon. They remembered when Daniel stood up and kept them all from dying and how he told a story about this statue that Nebuchadnezzar had where there's a head of gold, arms and shoulders and upper part of his body of silver, torso of brass, legs of iron, and feet of clay and iron, and about how that there was coming from heaven a stone that would destroy all of those empires, and that that stone would raise up an empire that would never cease. Now, we've seen all of those empires in the world. We can see how that the Roman Empire is coming back together again. I hope that you all understand something about prophecy, so that's not totally off the top of your head. I don't think everybody in here is blonde. At least not as blonde as I am. So anyway, they knew that. So they knew from their studies that there would be a time whenever even the heavens would let them know that this king, the one who would be he would bring all kingdoms under his control and that it would come from the Jews, was being born. So they came because they saw the heavens. And they came. Now that we know that they came, and when they came, and we're going to skip down now that the wise men came from the east, we're going to skip down to verse 11 because I don't have time to get into all the scriptures with you today. Just trying to make your heart hunger. If Daniel knew and these wise men knew that something amazing was going to happen and it had to do with Israel, do you hunger for knowing what's going to happen with Israel today? There's great flux in Israel today. They're going to have a third election. They cannot be united. Huh. I wonder if they need the uniter. His name is Yeshua. I wonder if they need Him. I wonder if they're beginning to say, why can't we be united? Why are we so divided? In America, we've all chosen sides. We say, well, I'm an elephant, I'm a donkey, or I'm something else. We're all broken into 1,000 pieces. Why can't we be united? Are we not called the United States of America, e pluribus unum, all for one? Well, we need the uniter too. So they came, and we read in verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures. There's a poem that Brother Matthews used to read. It was a poem entitled, I Love You. Not only for who you are, but for what I'm becoming because of you. You're making out of my life a masterpiece. Not only that, you're willing to put your tender, nail-scarred hands deep into my dirty, ugly heart and to find all those treasures that only you could have placed within me. Do you know that God has placed treasures in you? And they're His for His glory to be able to bring them out. Here they're bringing their treasures and they're opening them up and they're offering them to the King. What do you have to offer today? What can I offer? What can I give? If I were a shepherd, I'd bring him a lamb. If I were a rich man, I'd do what I can. What are you offering? Because we need to think about what if we're having an encounter with the King. What are we going to offer Him today? What does He really want? Well, He wants a throne to sit on. He wants to be able to use your life for His glory. These wise men remembered whenever Daniel was enabled by this King to save them all from death. So here they came. Now then, this is the time of the year. Y'all really missed a thing on Thursday night. If y'all weren't here, how many of y'all came on Thursday night? Because I saw some of you here, and I was very glad to see you here. This place was packed out, and there were people all across the balcony. Amazing to see all that many people show up for all these little kids. The stage was full. I want to thank God for Jana Pollard and for her husband, Mark, and for all of the teachers and all the things that they did to be able to get this all together. If you were here on Wednesday night, there were things that are up here that you're saying, what in the world is going on? And it was a marvelous thing. And there were people that I met afterwards or during, and they said, I just recently was at another place where they had a Christmas program, and they did 4 or 5 songs, but this is amazing. And so here they are. The story goes about a little boy who had a part in the Christmas pageant. And his part was to be able to introduce the 3 wise men, because he had a loud mouth. You know, some of us boys, we got loud mouths. Some of you girls do too. So anyway, he got up to do his part. His part was to say, and the 3 wise men came to visit Jesus, and they brought unto him gold, and he was so proud of himself, and Frankenstein, and myrrh. He didn't even know. The people all left. He didn't even know until it was finished what he had done. You know, that's the way it is with our lives. Aren't you glad we've got a God who can work all things together for good? So anyway, they brought their treasures and they presented them. And being warned of God in a dream. Do you understand how important it is that we pray for dreams and visions? Because we need dreams and visions. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed. So they came. Y'all know what the saying of Caesar was whenever he was such a great general and he went out and conquered all the Roman Empire, or at least the parts that he conquered. Veni, vidi, vinci. I came, I saw, I conquered. But they only came and saw and they left. That's the way it is in an awful lot of the places in church today. People are coming, they're seeing, and they're going. And that's all right. Because somehow or another, God in the coming and the seeing and the hearing, God is getting ready to do an amazing thing for those who are willing to be like not the 3 wise men, but the 4 wise women. All right, back to chapter 1 of Matthew so we can look at the 4 wise women. chapter 1 starts off the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. We're going to go all the way back to Abraham. There's 14 generations between Abraham and David. There's 14 generations between David and going away to Babylon. And there's 14 generations between the return from Babylon and when Jesus was born. And in these 42 generations, 14, 14, and 14 is 42. Give you all a chance to be able to do that. 14, 14 is 28. 14, 28. It's 42. So whenever you do that, those 42 generations, there were four wise women. Now we see 42 men spoken of here. I believe every one of them had to have some portion of faith to be able to be involved in the lineage of Jesus. Because we're going to talk about a man who should have been involved. He was the husband of the first woman, and God killed him because he was evil. If you're here and you have not accepted Jesus Christ, I'll guarantee you, in the presence of God, you are evil. He cannot allow you to bring more evil to other people. There will come a day whenever He will say, you had every opportunity. I'm sorry, I have to take you out. You'll go to the place that you've chosen to go to. So we want to see here, I believe every one of these men and every one of these women, four women, wise women, all had something about them that added to who Jesus was. Here's the thing. You were created to add to by allowing Him to use you, by allowing Him to have you, to add to Him, because you're going to be the person who takes Him to somebody else. Now, you say, no, preacher, that's your job. No, it's not. My job is to preach to the people that you all bring in here. Bring them in. That's what Brother Tom's job is. That's what Brother John's job is. Y'all need to bring people into those classes and into here so that they can hear about Jesus. Go out. Talk to them. Bring them in. So in the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the first woman we see was a daughter-in-law to the Judah in the third verse. The third verse of Matthew, the first chapter. And Judah begat Perez and Zerah, two boys of Tamar. Tamar is what it says here in the King James, but her name was Tamar. And I can tell you what her name means, but it's not necessary for the message today. Here was a woman who had been chosen to be his daughter-in-law. His own son, Judah's eldest son, the one son that would receive the birthright and the blessing. She was married and was supposed to receive, because she was married to this man in God's plan, she knew that her life was to be amazing. But he was an evil man. You can go back and read in chapter 38 of Genesis. Y'all might want to write that in the margin. Go back and read chapter 38. You can read all the things that she did, because she was determined she would not lose her part in the blessing and the birthright that God had. Are you determined you will not lose your part in the blessing that God has for you? Because you must be determined. However it seems to be working out, you must be determined. So, she does whatever it's necessary. Her husband dies. There's the second son. The second son is supposed to go into her and help raise up a child to the eldest son. Because you always are interested in passing on the birthright and the blessing. The second son was as evil as the first son. These two boys were supposed to be forerunners of Jesus, but they could not give up their sinful lives to God. They could not. America is full of people who are not able to do it today. You need to take Jesus to them so there will come an opportunity for them to be able to give up their evil lives. So the second son died also. There was a third son, but he was much younger, and she was asked if she would be willing to wait until the third son grew up. Whenever the third son is getting old enough to be able to do his part about bringing forth the birthright and the blessing, she is totally forgotten. I know you women none of y'all have ever felt like in your life that you've been totally forgotten? Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. Because that's confirmation. Because you see, God understands. He knows from those that belong to Him before you what they felt like when they felt like that they were totally forgotten. Here's the deal. Women aren't the only ones that feel that way. We men feel that way an awful lot of the time too. Of course, we have to put on the brave front. I mean, if we're wimpy, we can't stand ourselves and nobody else can either. You women, I know that y'all are not wimpy either because you're doing the very best you can to keep your brave front going. So there she is. It seems like her life is over. What is she going to do? She's desperate. Let me read you a little bit about her. God's grace changed her from a desperate, hopeless woman. The two men who were going to bring the birthright and the blessing into play for her have died. She has no family, no one who's standing up for her, nobody who's making things right for her. And she's desperate to do whatever she can. If you're desperate today, you need to tell God you're desperate. Because God's going to say, I know. And then you need to say, all right, I can't do anything about it. It's your responsibility, God. And He's going to say, I know. And you need to keep telling Him and never give up. Because too often when we've gotten desperate, we'll learn to live with it. That's a wonderful picture, isn't it? When's the last time somebody took a picture of you being desperate and learning to live with it and put it on Facebook? You think that's the kind of Facebook picture you want to have out there? No! You want to have that picture out there where you're looking into the camera and there's a fire in your eyes. You don't have to smile. You just have to have a fire in you. So she was willing to do whatever it took. And she did whatever it took. But God was saying, this woman wants to be part of the blessing that I had planned. And God made it to where she could be. Read the story. If I told you the whole story, it would take away from me being able to talk about four wise women. She did whatever she could. And God looked down and He said, only faith could enable her to think that that might be able to turn out all right. And it turned out all right. Because she bore children to Judah that out of them was going to come the Messiah. So she's the first wise woman that we see here. Go ahead and read about her in Genesis chapter 8. And it says that about them, and in verse 5 it says, and Salmon, is that the way you spell the fish? Anybody know? I think it is. I don't really know. I love Salmon, by the way. You don't have to get the expensive kind. I can take something really cheap. I've heard of Salmon patties. Yeah, I like that too. I'm letting you know. Okay. And his son was Boaz. Now you need to read about this woman in the four chapters of Ruth. So you put on beside here, Ruth, chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. And his name was Boaz, and he was born to the second wise woman. She belonged to a nation that God had told that nation 400 years before the children of Israel came out of Egypt, that one day the Jews will be coming back. How many years ago did God tell His people that they were getting ready to be scattered all over the world? But one day, you will be coming back. So, hears about them. They're in the wilderness. There's a pillar of cloud that's with them by day, a pillar of fire that's with them by night. They're getting closer and closer and closer. And she's saying to herself, give me a chance. Give me a chance. Now then her people have been told they're going to be destroyed. She could have given up. But she was a wise woman. Although she was a condemned and cursed woman because she was part of a condemned and cursed people. If they did not turn to God, because anybody who will turn to God can have the condemnation and the curse taken away from them. So, she was there and two Hebrew spies came in and she hit them. And she said, but you have to make a promise to me. You have to swear to me. You have to covenant with me. I think it was last Wednesday night when we had the blood covenant. Do y'all realize how important it is to be here for the Lord's Supper? Because you're saying to God, I believe in your covenant. And God is saying, no, angels, come over here. So if you're saying, well, it's just too much trouble. You go over there and you have a cracker and a little thing of grape juice. That's not what it's about. It's all about being part of the blood covenant. And so she said, covenant with me. And they covenanted with her. And they said, now hang a rope out your window. And when we come back, you and everybody else that you can get in the house with you will be saved. So when they come back and they're marching around the city day after day after day after day after day and seven times on the last day, and then they give a shout and all the walls of Jericho fall down, where she is does not fall down. Though I'm sure that she felt the earth shaking underneath her. Is the earth shaking underneath you today? Are you learning to live with it? I'm thinking that we need to be a people that are tired of just living with it. Don't you think so? I mean, I'm not going to try to tell God what to do, but I'm going to tell Him, you've got something you want to do. And I'm believing in you. And she basically was doing that too. And so we find out that she had no way out of the condemnation or of the curse except to carry the hope of the Messiah in the very wicked, desperate heart of her being. She hoped for the God and the Messiah that He was going to bring. And she began to be a part of the lineage. That's the second wise woman. We have the first wise woman is a woman named Tamar. The second wise woman is a woman named Rahab. We read about her in the first and second chapter of Joshua. If you want to read about Rahab, go to the first and second chapter of Joshua and learn about, because she had, now these were not her middle and last name, Rahab the, what was her last thing that was about her? Harlot. She had a great sin problem. She lived among people who believed it was a good thing to practice sex with anybody that was willing to pay for it, with anybody that wanted to be a part of it. The nation was so twisted and messed up. They were told they have 400 years. You need to get yourself right. There's no way you can get right by saying, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't go with the girls that do. You don't get right with God that way. You get right by having a relationship with the Messiah. She wanted a relationship with that God. Covenant with me, she said to those people. They only covenanted with one person. They covenanted with God. So they were bringing her in to the covenant with God. Do you see this? About Rahab. So we see here that Rahab begat Boaz. And in the same verse it says, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Now Ruth was a member of the Moabites. And the Moabites had mistreated the Jews so badly that God had said, they will never be allowed to be a part of my people, even unto the 10th generation. They will never be allowed. And we find out that whenever four Jews came to live in her area, that she began to hear them talk about their God. Her God said, Ruth's God said, bring me your babies. Sacrifice them to me. Everything will be well with you if you will sacrifice your babies. Sound like America? Does to me. We need to bring people Jesus. Jesus can change things. The grace that He brings. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus. And so we see here that Ruth heard about this God. She married one of those boys because she was not just interested in this handsome young man. I'm thinking about what those Jews looked like back at that time. She was interested in the God she was hearing about. This God didn't say to her that you have to offer your babies. He said, give me yourself and I will give you everything that I've got. So we see this about Ruth. Ruth was changed from being an outcast, because she was an outcast to the Jews, whenever she wanted to go back with Naomi, go back to Israel, because Naomi said, I've run out of money, I've got to go back up to my place. And her daughter-in-law said, we're going to go with you. And one of them gave up, and Naomi tried to get Ruth to go back home, and she said, you must leave me. I can't give you anything. You're going to be mistreated for the rest of your life. How many of y'all would be willing to walk into something like that? With the possibility that God might bring something good out of it. Because she said, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Wherever you die, I will be buried there, and your God will be my God. Wise women. We have the first one, Tamar, who said, I'm going to make sure that I'm involved with the blessing of this God. And then we have Rahab, who's saying, my people will die. I'm not wanting to die. I'm wanting to be in a covenant with this God. Then we have Ruth, who's saying, they may not like me, they may not want me, but wherever she goes, I'm going. I don't care how they treat me, because I'm going to have a relationship with this God too. So we see three wise women. The last wise woman is also mentioned in here, in these scriptures. And we're going to look at verse 6. And we're going to find it says, and Jesse begat David, the king, and David, the king, begat Solomon of her. In here, this woman's name is not even called. She's not even given a name. Maybe there's somebody here today that feels like you're nameless, even among your own relatives. There's something that you've done that's left you without a name. God's got a name for you. And God wants to pronounce that name over you all the time. Zephaniah 3:17, this says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee will joy over you with rejoicing, with singing, and with dancing, calling your name out at His very throne. Thank you for that beautiful song. You did not realize what you were bringing into being today when you sang the song about His eyes upon the sparrow. Because there's a lot of people here that feel like they're like sparrows. Nobody even knows their name. How many of y'all ever had a sparrow and named it? Huh. Think sparrows have ever felt like that nobody knows them? But we find out that this woman's name was Bathsheba. And she already had a husband. And David is a king who's got a sin problem. And his God says, I've got a solution for sin. That doesn't mean that you're going to come through it unscathed. But I can solve the sin problem. You can say, well, that was too easy. No, it wasn't. Because if for 7 days he wouldn't eat, he wept, he wouldn't bathe, he laid on harsh rocks crying out to God because he believed in a God who wanted to bless him in spite of his sin problem. Do you believe in a God who wants to bless you and your family in spite of your sin problem? So we find out that Bathsheba, though she was an adulteress, that grace changed her from a woman caught in a sinful relationship who would every day after that have to put up with being shunned and having evil things spoken about her. I'm wondering about this. You all do know that you're not supposed to bring the evil report about anybody, don't you? Have I not done that enough in the last year to let you know that you should never bring the evil report about anybody? Because God will turn that evil report back on you. But every day there were going to be people that would be saying evil things about her because of what she had done. But she believed in a God who was able to turn her situation from evil to good. So she was a woman who was caught in a sinful relationship, who would be shunned, and the evil report would go out about her. You know, is there something that you've done? I want you to think about this, that causes other people to bring the evil report. Because when the evil report goes out, they're not the only ones that are wrong. She had to live with the fact that she was wrong. She believed in a God who could take all the things that were wrong about her. Four wise women. Do you see how that they changed everything because they were added into the lineage? Do you understand how you can change everything because you've been added in to be able to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to all the people that are around about you? Do you have any idea what God is wanting to do with your life? Yes, men, we should be wise men, but we should do more than just bring gifts and then be on about our business. We should be like these four wise women who, in spite of everything that was wrong in their lives, trusted in a God who could turn everything around. When Jesus was naming off His lineage, He was proud to call their names out loud. And whenever they stepped over into his presence, whenever captivity was taken captive, and y'all may not know what that means, then you need to ask me that question sometime. Whenever they were stepped over into his presence, when captivity was taken captive, he gathered them under his arms and said, y'all have only heard about these four wise women, but they have brought me to so many more people. Who are you bringing to Jesus today? Are you bringing somebody to Jesus? Because you know that there's a God who can take care of your sins? America needs people who can take care of, bring the idea of a God who can take care of our sins. She was caught in a sinful relationship. She would be shunned, and she would have the evil report spoken about her for the rest of her days. But she became the mother of the king. Not David. David was her husband. The next king was Solomon. She became the mother of the king who would not be an evil king. But out of him would come the Messiah, Yeshua. Here's the thing. It's not so much out of us what's going to come. It's what's coming in to us. You've heard about him today. He's looking for a life to transform and live with that person, in that person, causing their souls to become more and raise up the people that are around them. One last thought, then we're going to sing Amazing Grace, and y'all get to the lunch places quicker than other people today. The law came by Moses, and the law cannot save. It just can't. The law cannot save. It can tell us why we need to be saved, but it cannot save us. But grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You've heard about four wise women today. Some of you are saying, well, isn't that nice? No, you need to be saying more than that's nice. You need to be saying, I want that to be me too. All of you men, you've heard about three wise men today. They came, they saw, they went home. I believe that today there's a great revival going on in Iran, Iraq, Syria, and Turkey. Y'all aren't hearing about it because they're not going to tell about those things on the news. But there is a great revival. People coming to Jesus in Iran, Iraq, Syria, and Turkey. It's going on over there. Because those wise men went back and they told those who belonged to them. They shared blessings with those who belonged. And now then, those people are having the opportunity to say, I'm going to trust in Jesus too. So, grace changes everything. Grace changes nations. Grace changes families. Y'all are getting ready to go to family reunions at Christmas. Some of y'all are going to be saying, like the wise men, sure, I'm glad we went. Glad we're going home. Because I can't hardly stand to be around my own family. You need to be saying, children, mom and dad, everything's getting ready to change. I'm glad I got to tell you about it. Jesus is on the throne. Changes family. Grace changes the church. Grace changes us. Grace changes sinners. All four of these women were great sinners into saints. Are you glad that you're a saint? Do you want to see other people become saints? If you're here today and you've never really had an intimate relationship with Jesus, He's knocking at the door. He's saying, I'm ready to take care of your sins. And I'm ready to cause the blessing to become such a life in you. Because I never expected my people just to settle and put up with whatever is. They should always be believing in what's next. Let's all stand.